Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's Saturday night. It's the bottom of the eighth. We're going on the last day. I hope you got your Bibles with you here tonight. Let me see them Bibles. Hold them up there. I want to check them out. Hey, where's them Bibles over here? I want to see them. All right, get them up there. You know, everybody's got a Bible. All right, where's your Bible, young man? You came to this service without a Bible? Look ashamed. Look ashamed. Now, we're Bible believers here. And if you got a Bible that doesn't have authorized King James Version on it, you ought to look ashamed too. We believe the Bible. Now, I wrote something here a long time ago, got in a debate with a man. Now, why, they asked me, why would I believe that old King James Bible that nobody understands? Now, some of you are probably going to say that same thing here tonight, aren't you? Now, I'm just getting warmed up, so I'm going to take my jacket off. Haven't even started yet. We're going to have a good time because it's Saturday night. It's time to party. We're not going to get drunk on wine. We're going to get drunk on Holy Spirit. Now, you're allowed to do that. That's what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians. We're going to have a good time here. But somebody said, why would you want to believe that old King James Bible that nobody understands? Young people don't understand it anymore. Well, I'll tell you why. Because 24 years ago, a young person, 16 years old, that's pretty young, ain't it? 16 years old, open up that old King James Bible that nobody understands anymore. Went to the book of Romans and showed me how to be saved. Amen. And this 16-year-old young man at the time, 24 years ago, with long hair, tennis shoes, and blue jeans. I was the original hippie back then. Well, that's why your hair falls out, because you get long hair. So you'd better not grow long hair. But anyway, I read the scripture she's read, and God opened my eyes that I might see.
Amen.
Now, how it is that these people say young people can't understand anymore, maybe it's because they just don't read it.
Yeah.
How is it that Lester Roloff built probably the best young people's camp and whatnot down there in Corpus Christi, Texas, and he used what? A King James Version of the Bible. I tell you, I believe the King James Version of the Bible will be God's Word in English for us today. I believe it's the standard. And I got in a debate with this young guy or some people, and they said, well, we don't know about that. And so I wrote some things down, and I'm going to tell you what I told them, if you don't mind. If you do, we'll talk to you about it after the meeting. My argument is this, that the King James Version, as it now stands, that is the Bible that we have before us, regardless of its history, revisions, differences in translation, etc., etc., has been and is the standard authority in the English for the past 300 plus years. Please prove to me that any other modern English Bible has replaced this standard as authority. And he asked me some questions about the standard, and I replied. He asked me, well, how did it become the standard? Please explain. I said, well, how does anything become a standard? We have standard measurements, for example, a ruler, right? That's a standard. How did it become a standard? Do you know the history? Do you know how the ruler became? Does anybody know how the ruler became a standard? I bet there's not one person here who could stand up. Mike Pimmer's not here, so I can say that. There's not one person that could stand up here tonight and say, I know how the ruler became a standard. But every one of you recognize it's a standard, right?
Amen.
Right? Hello.
Amen.
Some of us need to stretch out tonight because it might be a long night. I mean, we've just got to get ready. We're going to have some fun tonight. How to become the standard? Well, through use, acceptance, and general agreement, I would suppose. Perhaps it became the standard because God said so. I don't know the history of the ruler by any means, but I do recognize it as the standard of measurement. Along comes a man with an 11-inch ruler. Not the 12-inch standard. It comes down with an 11-inch ruler. Your ruler's in error because it descended from late measurements. That's what he says. Your ruler, he's talking about our 12-inch ruler, our standard. Your ruler is made out of inferior wood and has inferior craftsmanship. You ever hear these type of markings before? When it was originally made, the crafters did the best with what they had. Talking about the King James translation. When it was originally made. But today, oh my, today we have found under the Deadwood Sea fine specimens of 11-inch rulers. Or so our professors tell us. I haven't actually ever seen them for myself, but I read about them on the internet. I have with me a modern, new, updated, new, improved ruler. Here that is closer to the original size ruler. Ruler critics all agree that this new, improved ruler is much closer and comes from older measurements and is therefore superior. If you were as smart as me, you would know this and begin to use this modern 11-inch ruler. After all, it's the modern man's ruler. You getting my drift? If you're missing anything, just hold your hand up behind your head and it won't go over you. It's easy to understand, you know. After all, I have been to ruler cemetery. I mean seminary. And all of us graduates have learned from Dr. Doolittle that this 11-inch is by far the better quality ruler. Even though our ruler seminary was built and founded on the standard 12-inch ruler. And the director of our school only allows the use of the 12-inch standard in our woodshop. Our ruler professors have convinced us that this 11-inch ruler is a much better standard. We intend to go into all the world and pretend that we actually believe the 12-inch standard. But we will make corrections with our modern, updated ruler. Even though everything around us was built with 12-inch rulers, including our homes, our fathers' homes, and their fathers' homes, our schools, our factories, our nation was built on a 12-inch standard, but we are now convinced that the 11-inch is much better. After all, it's easier to use. It's shorter. And Dr. Know-Nothing is a respected ruler scholar, and he says it's by far the best. And we should always listen to Dr. Know-Nothing. Granted, Dr. Know-Nothing and Dr. Doolittle have never built anything in their entire lives. But they are orthodox. They are orthodox. We should respect them and follow their advice and on and on and on. I'll tell you one thing with the 11-inch ruler. Tell you one thing about it. It just doesn't measure up. You see, it's about 1 inch short. It's about 1 inch short. And you can catch some of these new Bibles, and you can turn over to Acts in chapter 8 and verse 37, and you're not going to find it there. And you can look in some of these new Bibles, and you can turn to 1 Timothy in chapter 3, go ahead and talk to J.W. sometime, and tell him that God was man in the flesh, and you're not going to find that in a new Bible. You can turn some of these Bibles that says there's three. There's God, God, and the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. But you're not going to find that in a new Bible. It just come up a little bit short. But that's not my message for tonight. I just thought I'd throw that in free because it's Saturday night and we're going to have a good time. Look now in the book of Nehemiah and chapter 8. Now, when I begin preaching, there's always somebody, it's amazing, there's always somebody that comes up and asks you, well, why did you say that or why did you do that? It's amazing. Everybody's got an opinion. And you know what? If you can preach better than I, and I hope you can. And if you think you can do it better than I can, and you probably can, then why don't you do it? It's amazing. We get down there in Poland or Mexico or out in the streets here and begin preaching the gospel, and there's always somebody coming up saying, well, I don't think that's the way it ought to be. Well, how do you do it? Well, I don't do it. Well, okay. I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. What are you doing? I'm criticizing you. No, they don't say that. They just, right? Well, somebody comes along and says, Brother Brent, now why do you always tell the people to say amen? Well, I'll tell you why. First of all, because 72 times in the King James Bible it says amen. And I just think you ought to get in the habit of repeating the Word of God. It's good for you. So say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I like that. All right, now we're going to read in Nehemiah in chapter 8. We're going to begin in verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together. Here we are. We're all people gathering themselves. Why do you gather together? Because the Bible says that sometimes all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book. Did you catch that? So I say, where's your Bibles tonight? Did you bring the book?
Amen.
You say, where'd you get that, brother? I got it out of the book. The book says you're supposed to bring your book. So I'm asking you, did you bring the book?
Amen.
Let me see them Bibles again.
Amen.
All right, now we're real Bible believers now because we're following what the Bible says. We're all gathered together. Are we having fun?
Amen.
Now, I could preach on hell tonight if you want me to change my message. We still got time. All right, I want to have fun tonight, because Saturday night, probably all the faithful people are here, and I don't want to, you know, offend anybody. So we're just going to have fun. See, we're following the Bible. We call ourselves Bible believers. Isn't that what the brother said? Brother Brian stood up here and said, we're Bible believers. That's what we are. So we're all gathered as one man, and we're here, and we brought the book, right? To bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women. We've got men and women here. Let me see here. We got some men over here. We've got men and women, right? Got all the people there. See, we're literalists. I mean, we believe the Bible literally. And they all And all that could hear with I'm sorry, where am I at? Verse 2, right? Before the congregation both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. Now, we're just a little bit early. Because I think we're at about, I don't know what day we are in the first month, right? But we're a little off there. Now he says, and he read them. Now, so we need to prove. See, you read the Bible and you're doing some things and some other things you need to prove. So we need to prove on that, right? All right. And he says, and he read them. What am I doing? I said, what am I doing? I thank you. And he read them before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Now that's kind of mean how I like, from the morning to midday. We're going to do that tomorrow. Before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive. Now I'm looking out here. Yep, they're all attentive. I'm glad to see that. We're Bible believers. Right? Onto the book of the law, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a what? Pulpit of wood. Alright, I'm up there, but we got a pulpit of wood. You're catching my drift here. Somebody says, why do you have a pulpit? Well, bless your heart, in the Bible, there's a pulpit. It's alright to have a pulpit. I know some of these fanatics think they're weak knees and they're not real preachers. They can't preach without a pulpit. But in the Bible, there is a pulpit, see? You're allowed to have a pulpit. And if I could figure out a way to make a pulpit I could carry with me in a suitcase, I'd carry it around with me on the street and pop it up there so I could have my Bible put on it. It's not bad to have a pulpit. Ezra had a pulpit. And next time somebody builds a pulpit, my recommendation, you make it a little bit bigger so I can have something to slam on. I don't have enough room up here, see? That's probably what happened to our last pulpit. Somebody was slamming on it and it went to pieces, right? It got too old, dried out. Somebody says, why do you have a pulpit? Well, because in the Bible it had a pulpit. We're Bible believers. And it's of wood. No, it's wood, right? It's good old wood, see? Right? Which they had made for the purpose. Is that what you made it for? For the purpose beside him stood all them fellows there. And in verse 5, and Ezra opened the book. He opened the book in the sight of all the people. Are you with me? For he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Amen. Then all the people stood up. I like to see Bible believers. I like to see doers of the word. Isn't what the Bible says? Be doers of the word, not hearers only. It's everybody standing up, young lady. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We want everybody to be standing up. Thank you. Now you may be seated. We're supposed to be doers of the word. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Amen. And all the people, answered, Amen, 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 with lifting up of their hands. Amen. Let's see it now. Amen, Amen, with lifting up of their hands. Let's hear it now. Amen and Amen. Amen. And they bowed their heads. And so we're going to bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, we do thank Thee that we can have a good time in You. God of heaven, we do thank You for a book we can trust. We thank You for the standard that You've given to us. Lord, we thank You for Your blessings we have in Christ Jesus. We thank You for the fellowship we have in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we're just going to rejoice in You because You're a great God. You've given unto us a great salvation, so free. Oh God, we just love You for it. We just praise You for it, and we want to adore You and worship You tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. With their faces to the ground. All right. Did you catch all that, what I just read? Now that we have a reason for doing everything we do, right? And I'm just getting warmed up. We're going to have fun tonight, right? Everybody going to have fun. Ain't nobody going to leave here sad tonight. Everybody's going to leave happy, right? Because I don't want to offend nobody. I'm just going to be happy. I'm just going to be happy. Now I know about halfway through this, somebody's going to get offended because they probably didn't like the way I raised my hands or the way we shout around here. But that's what the Bible says. Amen. You're allowed to say amen in church. And if your church, you don't ever hear amen said, maybe they're not saying the right things, and you ought to check out of there and find out a church where they do say amen. Amen? Amen. Now, I noticed something when I was preparing this sermon. I looked up the word amen in the Bible. I noticed it's written in the Bible about 72 times. And I noticed something about that. I noticed about 21 times it was in the Old Testament. Look over in Deuteronomy. And what chapter was that? That was chapter 27. Look in Deuteronomy, chapter 27. Now it's very interesting. You read that Old Testament, and you find a bunch of curses back there. Isn't that right? I mean, there's so many curses in that Old Testament, some people think that there was a different God. But you're only going to find 21 times in the Old Testament where it says amen, or 21 verses where it says amen. Now sometimes it might say amen and amen, I didn't count those. So it might actually say it, a few more times. But 21 verses.
Look down here in Deuteronomy 27 and verse 15. We'll start with verse 14. The Levite shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a, what kind of voice?
Loud
voice. Now there's some old timers around here said, Brother Riggs, you got to preach a little bit louder because we can't hear you. We don't want to buy an ear, one of them ear things yet. We want some independence, so you got to speak up. And then when you start speaking up, no sooner you start speaking up, getting a little bit loud, even though the Bible says they spoke unto him with a loud voice, somebody's going to walk out of here tonight and say, I don't like that preacher because he's loud. And then if you get real quiet, then somebody's going to say, I don't like that preacher because I can't hear him. See? And yet the Bible says you're supposed to give thanks for all things. That means you're supposed to give thanks when the preacher's loud, and you're supposed to give thanks when the preacher's not so loud. You're supposed to give thanks for all things. I can see some of you haven't graduated yet. We're going to try that again. In the New Testament, it says we're supposed to give thanks for all things, and that includes a loud, skinny preacher who wears glasses and got a crooked nose.
Amen.
And that even includes a handsome, balding, elderly statesman. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about that. Doesn't the Bible say somewhere, let another man praise thee, not thy own mouth? Amen, brother. I love you. I don't want to offend you, but you're a good guy. I really like you. Doesn't that what it says? Amen. So he says in a loud voice. But notice in the Old Testament that when they said these things, he said, cursed be the man. Now it's not so much no fun no more, is it? Cursed be the man that maketh any graven, what? Or molten image. Did the Bible say any? Any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord. That means that God gets sick just looking at it. The work of the hands of the craftsman and put it in a secret place. Huh? Some of you got rooms where you got a little image molten and crafted. You put little candles in front of it. You better watch out. He said, cursed be that man. And all the people shall answer and say,
amen.
That's right. Now we'll jump down to verse 17. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. Right? That means you better be careful about changing standards of measurements. Somebody paced that out and said, all right, here's the line. And they set the standard. They set the landmark. They said, don't change it. And now he says, cursed be the man that removeth that. And all the people shall say,
amen.
Uh-huh. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. Uh-huh. Didn't Jesus say something in the New Testament? Blind shall lead the blind, the bull shall fall in the ditch. And he said, cursed be that man. Now, the strangest thing I've ever seen in my life was a blind man leading six other blind men. And I saw it in Aguas Calientes. This blind man had the glasses on. He was blind. He had a long white cane. And he's going down the street, which is fine. You see that sometimes. But what you don't see is you got six other guys with their hand on it like a train. You got a hand on the shoulder. And they're following. I wonder if he told them that he's blind himself. I just wonder about that. I wonder if they didn't come up and say, hey, I'm trying to find such and such place. I'm here out in the street. I'm looking. He says, come follow me. I know where I'm going. Hey, I seen this one blind man in Warsaw, Poland. I mean, he was really trucking. I don't know why anybody that's blind would want to run. But he was running. And he ran right smack in this post. Knocked him down. I mean, when you're blind, you just got to be careful. You got to be careful where you're going because you might run into a post or you might fall in a ditch. And you better be careful who you follow.
Amen.
Now, we preached that on the other day. There's many ways that lead to destruction. Broad is the way, right? Didn't we preach about that?
Amen.
And there's some people that claim to know the way, but they're blind. They don't know where they're going. And God says, cursed be that man that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. Now, which way is the way? Well, Jesus, I'm the way.
Amen.
Cursed be the man that leads you out of the way. We should be leading people to Christ.
That's right.
And all the people shall say,
amen.
Next one says, cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless, and widow. And all the people shall say,
amen.
Amen. And we can read on down. We're going to jump down to verse 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of the law to do them. And all the people shall say,
amen.
And sometimes we better say, woe is me. Now I read all them verses because I wanted you to understand that sometimes even in the Old Testament, when they pronounced the curse, it was all right to say amen. That's right. That's right. That is true. That's right. We agree. Amen.
Amen.
But I just found it interesting that a lot of them amens in the Old Testament went along with curses. But the New Testament is 51 times an amen. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. And thank God for the great amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying amen. I think you ought to say it. I think you ought to be used. I think you ought to say amen. Look in look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, what are you supposed to say amen? Luke in chapter 14 and verse 16. Now, Paul writes a letter to what? To who? To the church. And he's telling how to behave in the church and what they ought to be doing in the church. Right? He says some of you are muttering and doing different things and speaking in these tongues and nobody understands and nobody can say amen. Because they don't understand what you're saying. Because they don't want to say amen if you're saying something that's wrong. They don't want to say, yeah, that's right. They want to understand. So we get down about chapter 14 and verse 16. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall they that occupy the room of the unlearned say, amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? And that's why over there in Ezra and Nehemiah, that they spake distinctly. So that people could understand, and when something was said that was true, and it was a blessing to them, they could say,
amen.
Now somebody asked me, when I preached this sermon one time, now where do you come off telling people they ought to say amen? Well, I'll tell you what, I got out of the Bible. The Bible says that when you're blessed, that it's all right to say amen.
Amen.
And I asked the other night, what kind of church do we want? We want a living church, we don't want a dead church. And we want a church that speaks truth. And so if you don't hear a lot of amens, maybe truth's not being spoken. Catch my drift? Look in Luke in chapter 24 now. Jesus is risen again. Right? He's given the command, and I'm tempted to just run right up there at verse 47 and preach on that for a while, but I won't. But we're going to read down in Luke in chapter 24 and verse 52. And it says, and they worshipped him. Now who are they? Those are the disciples. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with what kind of joy?
Amen.
With great joy. And were what? Continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? When these disciples got a hold of a resurrected Savior, they went back to Jerusalem with what kind of joy?
Amen.
Great joy. And then what did they do? They were continually in the temple doing what?
Praising.
Praising and what? Amen. Isn't that the way it ought to be? You and I found out that when God saves your soul, all of a sudden you got a desire to gather together. All of a sudden you got a desire to be with God's people. And if you don't have a desire to be with God's people, maybe you ought to check out your salvation.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but when my Bible says when a person gets saved, he's a new creature.
Amen.
Isn't that what the Bible says?
Amen.
And if your life, if you come off of this thing that people say, well, I've always been a Christian. You can't always be a Christian. Was you always a humanoid? I mean, weren't you born into the humanoid race? Right?
Amen.
I mean, the human race. Weren't you born in the human race? Wasn't there a time when you weren't in existence and all of a sudden you came into existence?
Yes.
And you go down and get your driver's license. They want to know when you was born. Isn't that right? They don't put on there always. Right? They say put down there April 9th, 1958. Well, they may not for you, but they did for me. What I'm saying is Jesus said you must be born again. There ought to be a time when you were born into the family of God. When you were born again. There ought to be a date. Now, I know some of you women like to forget when you were born. Or you like to shift the dates around. But there's a date, nonetheless. There was a time. And so, my Bible says the disciples, they worshipped Him and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And when they did that, He said, amen.
Amen.
It's amazing. Look over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. Jesus is praying. He's teaching the disciples to pray or how to pray. Give them an example. We pick it up in about verse 13. He says, lead us not into temptation. That's a good thing to pray. But deliver us from evil. That's another good thing to pray. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Now it's all right when somebody gets done praying for you to say amen. In fact, it's almost a custom in Poland. You go to church and somebody prays and everybody says amen.
Amen.
Amen. I had to practice that. Amen. Because I usually say amen, but I have to say amen in Polish. It's a little different accent. Amen. How do they say it over there in Turkey? Amen. 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 Can you say amen? Can you say amen? How do you say it? It's amen. That's pretty good. Amen. All right. Well, however you can say it, just say it. Right? Let's hear the ladies say amen.
Amen.
Now let's hear the men say amen.
Amen.
Now let's hear the kids say amen. Yeah, well, you know that last one. It's all right to have fun in church, and that's what we're having tonight. We're having fun. I mean, sometimes the devil just gets us down. We need to have a good time.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Now, we still got time to change the sermon if you want. I mean, we're pretty close to Luke. We can head right over to Luke chapter 16 if you want. All right, are you with me? Let's continue. Psalm chapter 106. Now, isn't it amazing that the one book in the Bible that has the most chapters is the book of Psalms? That was God giving you a hint. He wanted you to be joyous people. It isn't amazing that the man that was after God's own heart wrote a lot of them psalms?
Amen.
And you want to be after God's heart, don't you think you'd pick up a harp and start singing?
Amen.
God's trying to give you a hint. 106, that's where I'm headed to. Verse 47. Save us, O Lord our God. Gather us from among the heathen. To what? To give thanks unto thy holy name. And to what? To triumph in thy praise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say,
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm glad you're reading your Bible there. Now you see there, now it's all right not only to say amen, but you can also say, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. There's nothing wrong with saying praise the Lord. Doesn't make you Pentecostal. Doesn't change your denomination. You can say praise the Lord.
Praise.
Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. You said that pretty good. You say it again?
Praise the Lord.
That sounds good to me. Praise the Lord. He's worthy. Now I'm telling you, you ever get a hold of that great salvation, huh? And God saves you, it's only natural for you to say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And if you got a problem with saying praise the Lord, maybe you ought to check out your salvation. Huh? Somebody says, well, what are we supposed to say? Well, the Bible is direct. I mean, there's nothing difficult about this. This King James Bible, nobody understands. It tells you exactly what you can say. You say, amen, praise the Lord. Is that too hard for you? Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. And then it says, how many people? Let all the people say amen. Now, some of you, you got it back. You're stuck somewhere. You think, No, that's for that Brother Steve, he can say amen. And that, you know, and when Brother Brent comes in, he likes to say amen. And, you know, Brother Brian, he can say amen every once in a while. And, you know, Brother Lindell, he can really get one of the amens out there. Yeah. And some of you think that, you know, it's only a certain class of people that's allowed to say amen. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that all the people say
amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You're gonna catch on by the time we get done tonight. Now notice this, now I'm going to take this just a little bit out of context, but look in Jeremiah in chapter 8. I think you understand what I'm trying to say. Well, I say Jeremiah chapter 8, I don't know where it went, maybe it was Jeremiah chapter 6. Well, I done lost it. Oh well. But it says, and even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen, the Lord do so. I thought it was interesting, even the prophet Jeremiah said amen, because even he can do it. And he's the guy that started off and said, I can't speak. I can't talk. I'm just a child. I can't do it. And I got to reading the book of Jeremiah, and that's what it said in the first chapter. And he complained to God and said he can't do it. And then later on, just a few chapters on, it said even Jeremiah said. Uh-huh. That's because all of us can say amen. And you know, if we got to thinking about that, and got to concentrating on what was being preached instead of sleeping through the message, hello. Right? You know what? I can tell some of you fall asleep with TV on, don't you? You know how I can tell? Because I'm speaking with a loud voice and you're still falling asleep. I don't understand this, except you got TV running or the radio blaring. Some of you got them earphones plugged down your head and the radio's just blaring and you're snoozing. And so when you come in and hear the Word of God preached, you're already, you know, you can already, I don't understand how you can do it, but you can do it. You can fall asleep when somebody's shouting. I can't do that. But some of you can. And if I see you, I'm going to come get you. I'm an alarm clock. I read about that in the New Testament. He said, awake! Awake! I said, oh, that's my kind of preaching. I'm going to preach like that guy did. Awake! Awake! Huh? Isn't that what Jesus did? He had a friend. He says, I got to go over to Lazarus because he's sleeping. I need to wake him up. Isn't that what he said? Isn't that what he said? You remember that? And I know some of the disciples, they got all bent out of shape over that and said, no, we ought not to wake him up. Let's let him sleep. Now that's the problem of the church today. They want the brothers to sleep. Amen. God is in the business of waking people up. Amen. And besides, he'd been asleep in that cave for 4 days by the time he got out of bed. So I like that. Awake, awake. And I thank God that he says, shout. With a loud voice. Amen. And I don't like it when the police officers come by me and say, chico, chico. That means be quiet. I don't like that. How can you be quiet when you're talking about Jesus?
Amen.
I mean, just only naturally get a little bit loud. Right? I like you. You ought to come to pole with you. We could really use you over there. I mean, I like you. Alright, look over in Hebrews in chapter 2. Now we've been there a couple times this week, haven't we? We didn't get out past the first couple of verses, but now we're going to jump down to verse 12. Old time favorite preacher of mine said, ain't we having a time? Are you having a time?
Yeah.
I'm glad. It's alright to have a good time in church. Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of... Are you with me? In the midst of... Help me out here. In the midst of... You say you can read that old King James Bible. That's not too hard. The church. Will I sing praise unto thee? And again I will put my trust in him. And again behold, I and the children which God have given me. You see, it's all right to sing. And if we want a living church, we ought to sing.
Amen.
We ought not just to glance over the words. We ought to sing. They said that this church got all these fancy curtains hung up there and you just can't make the loud noise like we used to make down there in that little thing. I said, well, we sure can try, can't we? Huh? I'd like to get singing so loud these things get to moving, see? They get to moving. Huh? People come in and say, man, that's a living church. Wouldn't they? Huh? At least they'd go out and say, boy, they like to sing there. Huh? I don't like it when I visit a church and the people can't hardly make any, they just, you know, it's one thing to sing bad like me, but they're not making a joyful noise. I got a hankering to go over and get that guitar right now and start up and start some singing. But we'll hold off on that. But he says we're supposed to sing in the church. There's nothing, singing praise. To who? Unto him, he's worthy. I'm not worthy, you're not worthy. We're not singing about some woman that left us. We're not singing about that old man, are we? You can say amen. Amen. That's the way to go. Can you say amen? Hey, see, can you say amen? Oh, that's good. Let's hear all them kids say amen again. We'll hear that.
Amen.
Oh, we're getting better, see? Getting better. You just need a little help. See, we're singing about Jesus. Now, if I was singing about that woman left me, I'd turn it way down low. And I turned it down so low, it just went right off. Right? But if I'm singing about Jesus, I want to crank that thing up. See? Look down in Hebrews in chapter 13. Now, Jesus died on the cross. We talked about that this week sometime, didn't we? He suffered on the cross for us. Thank God Jesus died in our place.
Amen.
Thank God he took the nails for us. Thank God he took the shame for us. He bled in our place. Should have been us on that old cross. But it was Jesus. And I like the late limb girl sang about Calvary. I like that song. That's one of my favorite songs. You can sing that any time that I'm lined up to be preaching. You can sing that all the time. And then sing it again. I like that song. Thank God Jesus Christ died for us and gave us what kind of life? Eternal life. What a great salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And we can even raise the hands and say, amen, praise the Lord.
Amen.
We need a little bit of practice because we're getting weak over here in the middle. I said we can even say amen with our hands raised and say, praise the Lord. Now I don't call this raising the hands. I call this raising the hands. Now, if you got arthritis, I understand. But I know you guys ain't got arthritis. See? You guys can get them hands up there. Right? Now, Jesus gave a great sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice of the cross of Calvary. In Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You see, Jesus did something for us, and now we have an opportunity to offer the sacrifice of praise. You see, my Bible says that all of us here sitting here tonight, if you've been born again and saved, are priests. And you didn't even have to go to seminary. And no bishop had to come and lay hands on you. Except for that bishop. That bishop called Jesus. He is the bishop. Huh? And when he came and laid the hand of the Holy Spirit upon you and you received the Spirit of God and you were born again, you became a priest. Now what do priests do? They offer sacrifices. And everybody here tonight's an authorized priest if you've been born again. And you're allowed to make sacrifice, but not any kind of sacrifice. Here's the type of sacrifice that you're allowed to make. You're allowed to make a sacrifice of praise to God continually. Amen. Not just once a week, continually. Not just in the church house, continually. Amen. Romans chapter 15. I woke up this morning and I said, I'm going to have a good time today. My head was full of that hay fever or snow fever or whatever kind of fever it is, that cedar fever. And all that kind of stuff. But I said, it's too pretty out today. I'm going to have a good day. I like this warm weather. Romans chapter 15. Are you there? All right. Look down about verse 10. Again he said. Now it's all right to repeat yourself. The Bible says, again he said. Rejoice. Somebody says, didn't you preach this once before? Yeah. Well, the Bible says, again he said. You see, I'm a Bible believer. And you're allowed to say things again. Again he saith what? Rejoice. Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, he saith, and again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Isn't that what it says? It says rejoice. It doesn't say come to church like this, like you just ate sauerkraut. If you eat sauerkraut, you might come to church like that. But he says come rejoicing. He says praise the Lord. Not some of you, not just this side. He said, praise the Lord, all ye people. Amen. We're going to give a little lesson here. All. It's a real short word. It's got an A, right? Starts with an A. You can make a big A or you can make a little A, right? And then it's got a little L after the A, right? Now, if you just stop there, it would be Al. That's the name of my dad. No, it's not Al. It's all. And then we got another L. And it says all. You know what that means? Very good. I'm glad to hear that. It means all. That means you. Now we're having a little math lesson. And you, and you, and you, and I don't have time to go with, but it means all of you. Alright. And he said, rejoice, all ye people, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now that's a little bit better. You see, we're in a church. And the church is a body. The church has members and all the members function. Isn't that what the Bible says? All the members function. Now if you want to go somewhere where they have a congregation, don't act like a church and listen to somebody else do all the preaching, all the singing, all the praise and all that stuff, you help yourself. But the Bible says that we're a body. It's just not Brother Brent or Brother Brian or Brother Steve or Brother Lindell that does it. It says all the people said,
amen.
Well, in this case, praise the Lord. Yes. Then when you're saying praise the Lord, then I would say amen. Now let's try it again. And all the people said,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. And we're having time. Luke in chapter 19. You see, you can't hardly open up your Bible doesn't talk about this subject. I mean, you turn over to the book of Job and you think, man, oh, we're not going to find rejoicing here. And here he is rejoicing. And then you turn over to the book of Acts and you find old Paul the apostle down in the jail cell. You think he'd be down in the dumps, but now he's down there singing praises. See, you just can't hardly open your Bible and not find somebody rejoicing. Well, there is one place, and that's Luke chapter 16. Maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow. But that's down there in hell. Nobody rejoicing down there. And maybe the reason some of you people have a hard time rejoicing tonight is because you're going there. Did you hear me? Luke in chapter 19 and verse 37. You say, well, you're not dignified. Well, you know, you just don't preach like I think a preacher ought to preach. Well, did you ever read what David did when he got the rejoicing?
Amen.
I'm going to let you look that up yourself because he really wasn't dignified then either. And I'm not going to do what he did. And I'm not even going to tell you what you did. That's your homework. You just read your Bible all about David. But he really wasn't dignified when he was praising the Lord. Didn't fit in your mold, did he?
Right.
And I've seen some of you on TV. Well, maybe I didn't see some of you, but I've seen some people. And they get down to the football game. They don't look too dignified but when they're worshiping their gods.
Right.
All right, now down to verse 37. And when he has come nigh, even now at the descent of the whole multitude of the disciples, began to what? Rejoice and praise God with what kind of voice?
Loud.
With a loud voice. Now let's make that real loud. With a loud voice, and all the mighty works that they had seen, right? Saying, what? Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.
Amen.
Did you catch that? The multitude of disciples, not just a few of fanatics. Overzealous guys, you know. That guy, he's just a little bit too sold out. He's just a little bit too zealous. He's a fanatic. Are you having a good time? Amen. Good. I'm glad I see that. Oh, I forgot. There's something else you can lose. I forgot to tell you last night, you can lose your teeth. I just noticed that. I forgot that. Last night. Isn't that right? You can lose your teeth? Do you lose your teeth? Uh-huh. We need to be looking for them. But they said the whole multitude rejoiced. Isn't that what it said? And they didn't only rejoice, they praised God with a loud voice. Amen. Don't give me no wimpy amens. I want to hear a good, solid amen.
Amen.
Now that's a little bit better. Are you catching on?
Amen.
All right, we got a little bit more work to do. So we're supposed to exercise ourselves. Look in the book of Ezra. I think I can find it. Can you find it? If you can't find it, you need to be reading your Bible a little bit more. Because it's there. Ezra in chapter 3. Down, I'm going to start reading by verse 10. Do you have it? You got it?
Amen.
All right. Down in verse 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to what? Praise the Lord, after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people, how many people?
All.
Didn't say Al, it said all the people. All the people shouted with what kind of shout? A great shout. When they praise the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. And I want you to know there is no other foundation outside of Jesus Christ. And bless God, it's been laid. And so all the people did what? They shouted with a great shout and said what? Praise the Lord. Right? Somebody says, well, you know, how come in your church you got these ladies that come up there and sing? Well, it says because they sang by chorus. You want to say? Isn't that what it said? They sang together by chorus in praise and giving thanks. Huh? Then it say all the people shouted? Well, you're not supposed to shout. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Maybe you're not a Bible believer. Maybe you need to get a new Bible. Maybe you got one of the modern Bibles and it says whisper. Doesn't say that. It says shout. Isn't that what it says?
Amen.
Now, we could go through the Bible and find out all the time that people were shouting. I mean, they did a lot of shouting in this Bible. They're doing a lot of shouting in heaven.
Amen.
Huh? Some of you ain't going to like heaven. Because they shout up there. And you think I got a voice. You think that old man back there's got... Sorry about the brother. I mean, that older man, statesman back there. You think he's got a voice. You ought to see God, hear God's voice.
Amen.
Huh? That's not all it does. But are you getting the picture? It's all right to be loud. Look over in Psalms in chapter 47. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. It's all right to clap your hands. It's all right to say amen, glory to God.
Amen.
It's all right to clap your hands, I said. All right, amen, glory to God.
Amen.
Isn't that what it said?
Amen.
Didn't say, clap your hands, Al. It said, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. It's like you just got a touchdown, see? It's just like you kicked the ball and you got a goal, see? It's all right to say, hey, we did it. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. You hypocrites, you do it down there at the basketball game.
Yeah.
You did it when old Pee Wee kicked the ball in the goal.
Yeah.
Even if it was the wrong goal. Right?
Amen.
You jumped up and down. Somebody's going to jump up and down when the tax man gives you a refund. You're going to say, oh, man, look at here. Oh, man, let's go shopping. Yeah, oh, yeah. But then when that dear, beloved, kind, sweet husband of yours says, let's go to church. Oh, brother. Huh? Are you still with me? Shout unto God. It's all right to shout. You know what it says? With a voice of triumph.
Amen.
I'm just a little bit tired of the devil whipping me.
Yes, amen.
I'm just a little tired of my old flesh whipping me.
Amen.
I'm just getting a little fed up with this world whipping me.
Amen.
I don't like to lose. I want to win. And the Bible says, shout with a voice of triumph. He has overcome.
Amen.
He's already won the victory.
Amen.
We can do some shouting. The foundation's already been laid. We can raise his hand and say, amen, we won, amen. Touchdown for God. Amen. Or some of the guys on the radio speaker, go! Right? Then why can't we say, glory! Huh? Look over in Joshua, chapter 6. I know you can come back home from church. Some of your family members who didn't go to church with you, they should have been here. And they're not going to think you went to church, can come back, you're all sweating. Hair's all messed up. Where you been? Been to church. No, you went to the basketball game. No, I went to church. Glory! Huh? All right, I know I'm offending somebody. Can't get through preaching without somebody getting offended. All right, Joshua chapter 6. Now, you remember Joshua, don't you? He was Moses' right-hand man. And I think Joshua led the people into the promised land, right? We picking up there, and he coming up there, and he got up to this big city called, what was it called? Yeah, Jericho. He got up there to Jericho, and God told him how he's going to win. Huh? Isn't that what he said? Now, I'm going to find my place here in a minute. Joshua chapter 6. And let's see what verse I want to read. Let's start in verse 3. And you shall compass the city. Is that a hard word for you? You're going to go around the city. Not too hard. All ye men of war, and go round about the city once. He told you what he meant. He right there in the verse. See, the Bible interprets itself. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. You're going to catch that by the time you get home. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark, and the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And a 7 day you should, isn't that, sometimes it's alright to bring a ram's horn. I mean, God is interested in some loud, joyful noise. And you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people, not just Al, all the people shall shout with a, what kind of shout? A great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. My Bible said in the book of Psalms that we're supposed to shout with the voice of triumph. God's giving us an example here. Now we'll jump down to verse 10 because we're not going to read the whole chapter. You can do that tonight. And Joshua commanded the people saying, who commanded? Joshua did. He commanded who? The people. All right, we're following, right? Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. Now, I told you that I got to preaching this. And somebody comes up to me and says, now, Brother Brett, who are you to tell the people when to say amen? Huh? Who are you to stand up there and say, alright, it's about time for an amen? Who are you to say that? I got that out of the Bible, see? So this is Joshua. He said, now I don't want you shouting because I want you to be real quiet because I want you to get this point. And we're going to be real quiet just for a little while. Sometimes the Bible says there's time to be quiet. And so Joshua says, okay, let it rip! Amen! Praise the Lord! Isn't that what he did? Huh? See, I got it out of the Bible. And what happened? They got a great victory, didn't they? Are you catching it? All right. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. You're going to get this if it kills me. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Now, old Jehoshaphat. Didn't we talk about him the other day? I think it was. Maybe it's the same guy. I think it is. Now, notice what it says in verse 3. We're going to go through this kind of quick. You want to pick up the whole story? You ought to read 2 Chronicles sometime. And Jehoshaphat feared. You ever been afraid? Some of you afraid tonight? You ought to pick up a lesson from old Jehoshaphat here. And Jehoshaphat feared. And notice what he did. When he feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord. You a little bit afraid tonight? You ever been afraid? Are you afraid? Set yourself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He decided he wasn't going to eat. He was going to humble himself. He's going to humble his soul. That's what it said in the book of Psalms. And Judah gathered themselves together. Didn't I tell you that's something that's good that we ought to be doing? We ought to gather ourselves together. We gather in Jesus' name here. Where two or more are gathered in his name, there is he in the midst. And they gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Now that's another good thing you ought to do. Huh? That's why we have revival meetings sometimes. We need some help. Right? So they got together. They did. They feared. They were afraid. They sought the Lord. They proclaimed the fast. They gathered and they asked for some help. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. That's what it ought to be. And that's what they did. Now Jehoshaphat begins to pray. We'll pick that up about verse 6. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? We need to remind ourselves of some of that. Isn't he God in heaven?
Amen.
And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God? Did you catch that? Our God. Hey, that's our God. Hey, wait a minute. That's our God. Who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? Forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, evil come upon you, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, that's what he said, and cry unto thee in our affliction, that's what we're supposed to do when we're looking for revival. We cry out in our affliction. Then thou wilt hear and help. That's what he is. He's a great Savior. And you fall in the drink and you cry out for help. The other guys point the fingers. They don't want nothing to do with you. Say it's your fault. The other guys pitch a big old two table stones with the Ten Commandments on it and say, here, use that to help yourself. Just sink you down. But bless God, when Jesus hears that cry of help, he comes down and he's saved. Because he's the Savior. He wants to save people. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not just Al, all. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession. Isn't that what this whole world's trying to do to us? You can't praise God, you can't read the Bible, can't have the Ten Commandments, can't do this, can't do that, right? Can't preach here, can't preach there. Don't pass out tracts here. Which thou hast given us to inherit. Oh, whose God? Our God. Will thou not judge them? For we have no might. Now there's where we need to be. Now I told you, I've been thinking about this for a long time, all through this week. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When you think you can do it, and bless God, God has blessed us tremendously here. Huh? Hasn't he? He's blessed us. And sometimes we forget it was he that blessed us. And sometimes we get to thinking, well, look what I did. Huh? We had no might. Huh? Against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. She ever been there before? I don't know what to do. I preach and preach and preach and preach. Nobody gets saved. I don't know what to do. And so I raise my hands. I surrender. Isn't that why you raise your hands? Isn't that when the law comes in, authority comes in, it says, stick them up. Huh? Get them up there. None of this stuff. They want them up there. See? I surrender. So we raise our hands and say, oh Lord. Don't we sing that song, I surrender all? We know not what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And so we look up. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Huh? Well, we can skip down there and we see what God told him to do. He says down in about verse 17, let's go back to verse 15. He said, about halfway through the verse, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. Isn't that a problem a lot of times? We're so thick in the battle we think it's ours. Never was our battle. It was always God's battle. Amen. For the battle's not yours, but God's. Right? Look down about verse 17. And you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Didn't he say that he'd never leave us nor forsake us?
Amen.
And now look down there. About verse 19, the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and all the children of the Korahites stood up. Did you catch that? Well, let's practice a little bit. They stood up. I don't want nobody going to sleep. And they stood up to what? Praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. I think you're getting it. I think you're getting it. Huh? I surrender all. Let's try it. I surrender all. Amen. You may be seated. And they rose early in the morning and went forth from the wilderness of Tekoa. And they that went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Here's good advice. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed, what did he appoint? He appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army and to say, what? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon. Did you catch it? Shout on the Lord with a voice of triumph. And when the old Israel led by Joshua went around those walls of Jericho, it looked like there's no way they're going to win. Looked like there's just no way. The devil had them snowed under. You can't win this battle. You can't win this battle. But you know what happened? They went around that wall a couple days. I think 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they come around there and they blew the trumpets and they shouted and the walls came tumbling down.
Amen.
And old Jehoshaphat and Judah got in the fix here and they looked out there and said, what are we going to do? And they began to fear. Huh? I look out some of them faces in Poland and begin to fear. Some of you look out in these faces in San Antonio, Texas and you begin to fear. Sometimes you look out and you think, what can we do? There's nothing we can do. And we got to come to the place to realize we got no might. We just got to raise our hands and say, I surrender. Huh? And then we got to open our mouth and start praising. Huh? And start praising. And God begins to move. Huh? Isn't that what happened?
Amen.
You need some more examples? Huh? Isn't that what happened over there? Over in the New Testament, Paul and Silas head over to Philippi, man, they thought, man, God's blessed. He showed us the way finally. Now we're going to go through the door. We got to open the door. And they got over there and all of a sudden they find themselves in a dungeon. Wouldn't you fear if you found yourself in a dungeon?
Amen.
Might not get out. Wouldn't you get a little bit afraid? Amen. That kind of sore? Huh? They probably just serve beans and sauerkraut down in them dungeons too. Huh? A little bit discouraging, ain't it? And you know what they did? They sang praises. You know what happened? The earth began to move.
Amen.
Huh? And the jailer got saved. And God opened the door.
Amen.
That's why I say we ought to sing and praise God.
Amen.
Look at Psalms in chapter 5. Look down there in verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice.
Amen.
Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a sheep. Did you catch it? Are you getting it figured out? Now why would you want to do that? Look down over there in Psalm chapter 4, 147. Look down in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. Huh? Well, I don't like the way you praise. It's, well, you don't know what's good for you. Well, I don't like the way you sing. See, you just don't know what's good for you. That's what it says. It's good to sing. It's not bad to sing. It's good to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Aren't you supposed to do good works? Hell, are you with me? Aren't you supposed to do good works?
Amen.
Isn't that why He saved you? Unto good works?
Amen.
Well, here's a good work. Isn't that what it says? Psalm 115. You're going to get this. What kind of church do we want?
Amen.
We want a living church.
Amen.
All right. Are you ready? Psalm 115, verse 17. The dead, that's opposite of living, by the way. The dead praise not the Lord. Neither any that go down into silence. Huh? You walk in that door back there and nobody's singing. What do you know about the place?
Dead.
Huh?
Amen.
Amen. You got that figured out?
Amen.
You're trying to build a church here? Jesus is building the church? Are you trying to build a church here?
Amen.
God is interested in building a church? Are you trying to build a church here? Are you doing God's will?
Amen.
Trying to build a church?
Amen.
Then when people come through them doors back there, what should they be hearing?
Praise.
Praise and sing and rejoicing. Why? Because the dead praise not the Lord. And some of you visitors, I'm glad you're here. I like to have visitors. I want you to know this is a living church.
Amen.
And if you go to church where they don't sing and praise God, the dead praise not the Lord. Isn't that what it says?
Amen.
Some of you are just a little bit too proud.
Amen.
Knowledge puffeth up. Well, you see, I've studied and I know all how to cross the I's and dot the T's and all that kind of stuff. And I know that this sounds to me like Pentecostal doctrine. Because I know them Pentecostals raise their hands. Pentecostals ain't wrong because they raise their hands.
Right.
The Pentecostals ain't wrong. You know the Pentecostals read their Bibles too. What do you think?
Yeah, amen.
Huh? Jehovah's Witness to me said one time, well, you believe that Jesus is God. I said, that's true. That's what the Bible says. No, but that's what the Catholics believe. Well, hello. What does that mean? Do you believe that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary? He said, yeah. Oh, that's what the Catholics believe. You understand what I'm saying to you tonight?
Amen.
Some of you are worried about what other people think.
That's right. Amen.
Who cares what they think?
Amen.
Huh? You worried about what somebody else thinks? I think you're dead if you're not praising the Lord.
Amen.
What do you think about that?
Amen.
Huh? There's nothing wrong with lifting your hands and praising God. There's nothing wrong with shouting with a loud voice. Because it's good. Look over there in Psalm 63. 63 and verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. Hallelujah! Glory to God! I like you. Oh, somebody says, why do you do that? Because thy loving kindness is better than mine.
Amen.
My lips shall praise thee. And I got a chance to bless God. You know what it says? He's blessed me. Now I got a chance to bless him. Thou art worthy, O Lord.
Amen.
Now what it says?
Amen.
What keeps you from praising? You're too proud. You're too proud, aren't you? Huh? Too proud. Now I remember a long time ago. I'm talking about a long time ago. This part of the building wasn't even here. Most of you weren't here. We was over in that building over there. We had a meeting. Talked about pride. Talked about quenching the spirit. And I think it was Verlene. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but you can remind me. I think it was Verlene stood up and gave a testimony that she had read in a book about Hudson Taylor. And she talked about, I got a long memory, talked about Hudson Taylor. And they got to praising God. And they got so excited that one of them stood up on a chair. Now forgive me if I do this. But they all got there and they were just having a good time. And he got up on the chair. Now I'm going to offend somebody, but I'm sorry. And he got up on the chair and they, praise the Lord, they're just having a good time. And one of these old stiff necks, these pious cucumbers, stood over and said, that's not very dignified. Of course, he didn't say it with his mouth, he just kind of said it inside, you know. And he just let the bitterness get in his heart and resentment. Y'all worship God. Huh? And some of you, you go down to the Spurs game and you stand up on the bench, don't you? Huh? And you go out here and you go to these football games and watch Southwest play football and you stand up on the bleachers, don't you? But all them other pagans out there worshiping their gods and you're out there waving your hands and you're shouting and you're just going crazy, right? And then when some saint stands up on a chair, and you ain't gonna believe this, but Verlene stood up on a chair and she raised her hands and she said, praise the Lord!
Amen.
We had to wash that chair. I got my dirty old feet all over it. And they were having a good time. He wasn't having a good time. And he got on a boat. And he's going down the river. Doesn't have anything to do with my parable the other night. He's just going down the river. And he's in this boat and he got to thinking about it. God began talking to him. You old sour cucumber. How come you're not praising the Lord? Ain't I worthy? And he started getting convicted. And so now he's not with the saints of God. He's out there with a bunch of pagans, heathen. And so you know what he did? He got convicted. And he said, I think I'm just a little bit too proud. So he got his chair out there again, right in front of all the heathen. And he stood up and he said, praise the Lord! Glory to God! Praise the Lord!
Amen.
And you know what that did? He overcame, see?
Amen.
The voice of triumph. Some of you need to humble yourself.
Amen.
That means deny your old cucumber spirit. Your old sour, your cucumber, sauerkrauts, that's a better word than sauerkrauts. Huh? You need to overcome. You need to deny yourself because you're too stinking proud. And you want to have a revival? We're never going to have a revival as long as pride is dominating. And you have to humble yourself. And you have to confess your sin. And sometimes you got to do some things the flesh says, don't do that, I'm embarrassed. Well, you're not embarrassed at the Spurs game, I don't understand. You're not embarrassed when Southwest is going 10-0. I don't understand. Why would you embarrass when God knocked the devil out on the cross of Calvary? Why would you embarrass to stand up on a chair and say, glory to God? Worried about what somebody's going to say about you, aren't you? Why do you do that? Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Psalm 134. I'm trying to etch this on your brain. So you will not forget. Did we figure out how to bless the Lord? We already figured that out, right? The Bible told us how to bless the Lord. He says it. Psalm 134. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Glory.
Thou art worthy.
Glory.
Psalm 141. Look at it. This ain't just one isolated verse. This is throughout the Bible. Verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
Amen. Praise
the Lord. Is that right? Isn't that right? Did you get it? I think you got it. Now we're going to close this out with reading the chapter. We're going to read the whole chapter in Isaiah. Some of you thought I was going to go to Psalm 150, didn't you? But Isaiah chapter 12. Starting at verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. And thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Rivers of water is what he said in the New Testament. Rivers of water. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord. For he had done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee.
Glory to the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I think you got it. I think you got it. I think you understand. But see, a lot of that right now is just emotion. Are you with me? You know, I got you all worked up. And I did that on purpose because I wanted to show you that you can do it. I wanted you to have an opportunity when you're amongst friends to just sort of break the ice. You understand? You understand what I did tonight? Now, that ain't what we did tonight is not just for tonight. You know, that's for, you know, like tomorrow. And like, you know, for tomorrow night. And like for Wednesday. You know that's also for Monday.
Amen.
And for Tuesday.
Amen.
And for Thursday. And for Friday. Amen. And of course for Saturday. And you see, it's not just for the next week. You see, it's not an emotional thing. This is the will of God.
Amen.
This is Bible doctrine.
Amen.
This is what God expects of His people.
Amen.
This is what the priests of God in the New Testament church do. The sacrifice of praise. Being the fruit of their lips, and they humble themselves, and they lift their hands in the sanctuary, and they stand up for Jesus. I said they stand up for Jesus. That's what they do. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now we're going to sing like we never sung before. We're going to get these curtains. I didn't say sit down. We're going to sing Praise the Lamb, number 2 in this Sayer book.
Amen.
And if you haven't been praising the Lord and you think you need to do some confessing, this place up here, you can confess your sins. Now, I haven't really preached on salvation, and some of you might be lost, and you're kind of wondering what we're shouting about. Well, I want to tell you just real quickly why these guys get their musical instruments ready, and you figure out where chapter 2 in this book is. I want to tell you, we're shouting because there was a Savior that came from heaven. You see, we fell down in the pits of sin, and we are crying out in misery. Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. Religion came along and condemned us and said, you're not good enough. You can't make it. Nope, not you. You don't belong to our denomination. You can't get in. You're not one of the 144,000. We don't want you. You haven't been baptized in our temple. You know how religion is.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't help us. And we were going down for the count. Didn't look like we were going to get saved. And then God saw us. My Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Did you get it? Whosoever, that's you, believeth in Him, that's Jesus, shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
And if you'd like to have everlasting life and learn how to sing the songs of Zion, I'd like to tell you how to be saved. I'd like to pray with you today.
And if you're not sure about your salvation, while we start singing this, you can get out of your seat. You're already standing up, and you can walk right down here. Just grab him by the hand and say, "Brother Brent, I'd like to know more about what you're singing about."
Amen.
And I'll be more than happy to open up this book and show you some promises where you can trust God.
Amen.
Some of you Christians haven't learned to praise, and you haven't been praising. You need to confess that if you want revival. You need to humble yourself and get on your knees and confess your sins.
That's right.
That's why we have an invitation. And so we're going to sing this song, and we're going to sing. And we're going to sing. And you do what God told you to do. All right, let's do it. Amen. Amen.
Never could repay the honor, all the worth and praise.
Praise the Lamb,
for He is worthy, sweet eternal strength.
Here comes another. Amen. Do what God told you to do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God's worthy. Here comes another. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Praise the Lamb. Oh God. Amen. Thine we are. Thine forever. Amen. What a great God you are. Lord, we come tonight, surrender. We surrender all because you're the great God. Lord, we humble ourselves and acknowledge that we have no might. Lord, we can't fight the battle before us. It's not our battle to fight. Lord, it's for you to fight. And God, we go out as you told us to go, and we sing the praises of Zion. And we lift up your holy name in praise because we know that you're the captain of our salvation. Your Lord, you are the victor. You are the overcomer. Lord, you are our hope and trust. Oh God, we bless you this night.
Amen.
We thank you now. In Jesus' name,
praise
amen.
Praise
good night. The Lord bless you.